Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It's my pleasure to welcome back Fred Schenkelberg to the podcast. Welcome back, Fred.
Hey, thanks, James. Not so long this time. I think we just we're batching these together a little bit, but you came up with two topics and I'm like, oh, we need time for both of those. Come on.
So. Yep, absolutely. And you know what? The way the trends are going in our past episode, you know, fits nicely in with this next topic. And, you know, when in the last episode you recorded, you were talking a lot about people looking for the basics of reliable, the basics for FMEAs, the basics for this and that. And one of the things I see going on out in industry is there's so much talk about artificial intelligence, big data, edge computing, analytics, all these things. But I don't see anyone, I don't see a lot of people talking about the basics. So I got to ask, where's the disconnect? And can we truly do all that other stuff if we don't got the basics down?
No, we can't. I mean, it, to me, part of it is this, you know, the shiny object syndrome. It's the next greatest thing that's going to make our lives so much easier. Right? Having just more data. I don't know, James, if you walked into any facility that didn't have more data than they knew what to do with...
They have more data than they know what to do with, but yeah, they don't have information.
They don't have information. So adding a transceiver, a recorder, or a wireless vibration analysis without the analytics and understanding of those analytics, the basics, it doesn't go very far. I mean, you can do oil analysis, but unless you actually understand what it's telling you and take action on it, it's a nice gesture to do, but it doesn't do you any good, right? And now with artificial intelligence, it's a way to probe into your data. Yet, does it pass the sniff test at the end of the day? Do you and your team understand what in the world it's telling you, and how does it interpret it? So, I remember years and years ago, I was in a reliability or in a statistics class, a data analysis statistics class for my master's program, and the ReliSoft came out with a tool on their package that lets you, I think at the time they had six different distributions. It would run your data through real quick, and then it would say, log normal is the best fit for this data. And it would kind of rank all six of them, which one fit the data the most appropriately or according to a number of different criteria, it judged them. And it did it really fast. It was pretty cool. And at least I thought it was cool. So I showed my professor this, and he stepped back and he goes, well, that's just plain evil. And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, just because the machine says that's the right fit, did you plot it? Does it even look reasonable? Is there any historical data that says there should be that distribution versus something else? How about doing some of the basics? Let's actually just plot it. Right, because this tool was all, it was a wizard, and it just said chunk. This one has a score of 6.2, the other ones are 3.4, so this one's better. I'm like, what? Unless you understand the criteria which is making that judgment, and most of the time those criteria didn't apply equally to all of those distributions. One was better for the normal distribution, another was better for skewed data, but unless you knew which criteria was relevant for your data set, it was just fiction. And the reason he said it was evil is that the same as with a calculator, right? I can push buttons all day long and feel empowered to use this marvelous electronic tool. But at the end of the day, if I get an answer that's 2.6, if I don't understand if that's even the right order of magnitude, it's actually pretty worthless to me, right? Just because you get a number. And you've seen it where somebody answers a question, right? A simple math problem, and they write the answer to 17 decimal points and underline it and go, oh, we need to turn left or use this vendor or do whatever. They're missing the point. Just because their Excel can go out to all these significant digit doesn't make it any better. You need to understand how it's used for making decisions and back to the basics. And so the AI and the shiny objects, Internet of Things, it's the same with putting in a CMMS system. Unless you've got a good program already, adding a CMS is not going to make it better, right? It's so fundamental. And I think, and I might be a little cynical about it, but I think a lot of the trade journals and the press that we see and the press releases and stuff out is new and improved. Is like Procter & Gamble is going to do a shampoo that's new and improved. It might be a new and improved font on the outside of the bottle, but it's new and improved. That sells, right? Unfortunately, it, like so many other things that have come and gone through our industries, is that some people are in a good place where they can actually use it to great advantage. But the vast majority that don't pay attention to the basics aren't going to miraculously implement AI and have a world-class program. I don't think that happens.
No, I don't either. So with so many, I'm not going to say so many, but with organizations ignoring some of the basics and jumping to AI, and on the other hand, we have organizations that understand the basics and they're using that technology to further the benefits. How is this going to influence reliability long term? How is reliability engineering going to change? Is it going to change because of it?
Well, I mean, not just with AI, but that's a good example, is that it's a competitive world. And I'm thinking back to my mom years ago came into my office and I had two computers on my desk and I had all these cool tools and equipment around and the lab was across the hall and we did all this wonderful stuff. And she, her whole impression was, what do you need a computer for? Right. And this is why I can do things that would take, you know, 100 people, 100 years to do. Otherwise, I was using Mathematica to do all these analytical models and simulations and things like that. And she said, but that means there's 100 people without work for 100 years. And I tried to explain that it's a competitive world, right? We're trying to improve our products so that our customers are happy, because if we don't do it, one of our competitors will, and we'll go out of business, you know, making a long story shorter. The folks, to me, in reliability, it's a ratchet. As people get better at things, like when RCM first really became known about and people paid attention, there were a few people that were doing it intuitively, right? And paying attention to their programs and adjusting their maintenance schedules and inspections and so on appropriately to their circumstance. Now it's got a label and it gets built out and some people excelled at it and continue to improve the whole program. Whereas others struggled, had cost more, had more downtime. It cost more for them to get products out into the market to provide their service or whatever it was they're doing. And either they adapted and made improvements by brute force or by getting a flash of brilliance and go, oh, we need to sort this out. You know, with AI, it's, you can apply it. And if it doesn't work, if you're smart, you say, what do we need to do to make it work? Or how do we get this advantage? How do we get this gold ring? Well, you got to understand the basics. All right, well, let's double down on that. Let's get that sorted out and understood and implemented in our organization. Those folks will survive. Now, they may end up saying there's enough advantage just doing the basics that we don't need to do AI for a while. That's fine. But it's, I think overall in reliability, as these advanced tools continue to push the edge of what's capable out there, I think it pulls up the folks that still don't have all the basics in place. And it's just for their own survival in the long run.
All right. Excellent. So, you know, it allows us to get more done. It allows us to increase the speed at which we're leveraging our expertise, do those sorts of things. But some people, you know, just doing those basics, that's enough. So yep. Why is it that we have people that don't have the basics are jumping to AI right away?
Right. Yeah. You keep sparking all these memories from this factory I worked in when I first started my career. Warner was our maintenance manager. He was a 6 foot tall crew cut, German descent. And master craftsman. This guy knew the equipment. He knew how to fix, diagnose and fix just about anything. He was a joy to work with. And we were rolling out SPC in quality circles. And this was in the late 80s, early 90s. And we're kind of doing the a quality initiative in all these various tools that we're rolling out. And he just sitting in the back of the room with his arms crossed going, well, this is just the flavor of the month. You know, 6 weeks from now, this will be gone and we'll be doing lean, or we'll be doing something else. And in that organization, he was right. It was every 6 months, there was a new major initiative. The general manager or the ops manager read a book and go, oh, we need to do this. And then we'd bring in a consultant. We do a bunch of training. And we might have kept, you know, one or two elements of that. Yet we kept trying to apply the next best thing or the greatest thing, or this would work for us. And, but not with enough follow through, not with enough emphasis, not with enough, let's figure out how to, what do we need to do so that this is the right place for that tool? And so part of it is that flavor of the month mentality. We have a problem. Let's jump straight to the solution without fully understanding the problem. And I think that's rampant, not just in factory settings, but in all kinds of industries.
During these uncertain times, Iridicio is here to provide support. We have set up a special page for you to access exclusive resources such as webinars, templates, and office hours where you can ask our staff any questions that you may have. We are focusing these practical resources to help maintenance and reliability practitioners that are working from home or can carve out a little bit of time during this COVID crisis to pick a project and implement best practices. Find out more at help.iridicio.com. Is it because people are just looking for the easy way out? They think that, you know, we have that AI or we buy a new CMMS and that's all of a sudden going to fix all of our problems? We don't have to worry about the basics. We get this new piece and it'll just fix everything.
Well, the advertising says you apply the AI to your data stream and it'll say on Tuesday, go do this. And on Thursday, preventatively fix this one. And on Friday, inspect this. And it takes out the experienced programmer or planners to sort that all out, or the experience. You can hire less talented maintenance technicians because they don't have to think AI is going to do that for us. And it's hard to hire experienced folks. That's not a trivial job anymore to find folks that really get it. And so AI is a surrogate for that. And I think you're right, is we can jump straight to that and then we avoid all kinds of problems. Trouble is the incoming data is usually crap if they don't have the basics together. So AI will spin and crank and spit out answers that are nonsense. But unless you understand the basics, you won't even know that that's nonsense. And so I think there's dangers in not understanding the fundamentals and getting a good program in place. It doesn't have to be all manual, right? It doesn't have to be all fundamentals and based on years of experience in your plant, but it's got to be solid and have a consistent process that's repeatable. Then you can build on it and improve it. And AI may or may not be the right tool for you to make the next level of improvement, but it's not going to fix a bad program. And you can say that about lots of things, right?
Oh, absolutely. You could say it about a lot. Yeah. We've had the conversation before about doing a Weibull analysis. And, you know, if you don't understand what you're looking at, the data that's going in, you can input stuff. It'll give you the mathematically right results, but does that actually match with what's actually happening in real life?
That's right.
Maybe, maybe not. You know, when do we use a Weibull versus a reliability growth analysis?
Right.
You know, all those things, you need to have that fundamental understanding. The other thing I sometimes struggle with from the AI standpoint is correlation does not equal causation. Just because certain things are correlating to each other doesn't mean that's what's causing it. And from my understanding, AI will look at trends, determine what trends align with other trends to generate a result. But that doesn't mean that, you know, they're dependent upon each other.
No, and there's a variety of ways to test that. But it also takes a skilled analyst to do it. Neural networks is just a multifaceted regression technique, right? I have 47 different variables and we're going to weight the different variables into this formula. based on some training data, right? We're going to take our data for the last year, run it through the AI and see if it came up with the appropriate responses for what actually happened. Did it predict the breakdowns? Did it predict the actions and the spare part counts that we needed and so on? Can it use the existing data to give us the results that are meaningful to us? And then you turn it on with your real data and you're off and running. Now, if in the meantime, you swap out one of your lines and have all new brand new equipment from another vendor, it needs to learn that equipment and in the salient data streams that are coming from it before you let it loose. It's not magic, right? If you give it 47 variables and it will give you an answer, but the analytics part of setting up those models and verifying them and doing the training runs and testing those and verifying that they're accurate includes more than just dumping the data in. Is it seasonality? Is it product mix? Is it the material sets that we're running through the plant? Is it, you know, whatever is those variables, whatever their time streams are, is you got to include that into the model or limit where it's able to provide you answers. And that part, it goes right back to the basics again, is it's fundamental and understanding the analytical engines that are in these AI systems. And that's a lot of math. It's a lot of statistics. And unless it's like doing finite element analysis, right? It's a huge, complex mathematical model. And if I set the mesh at a different, slightly different way, I will get a completely different answer. So the fundamental understanding of that mesh size or of the regression analysis done by AI is to where its limits are, what assumptions are being made, and how does it affect the results. That's fundamental understanding of those models. And just bringing in AI and turning it on and has a nice, sexy voice that tells you to, you know, run for 6 hours and then do maintenance, that may or may not be useful.
Yeah. So, you know, essentially it boils down to AI has the ability to help us dramatically, but we have to have a good fundamental understanding of the basics first. We need to have someone who has not only domain expertise, whether, you know, it's around a type of asset, type of failure mode, something of that mm-hmm. nature, but also we need to have people that have that data analysis expertise, statistics expertise, those sorts of things. And they got to work together to make sure that the models are giving them the right stuff.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. Now it's a wild, wild west when you start pushing the edges of the technology that we're trying to adopt or bring into facilities. I was fortunate in the factory I worked in. It was a bit of the flavor of the month. But for me as a new maintenance or as a manufacturing engineer, I got exposed to so many tools and found ones that were brilliant and worked great in so many circumstances and others that were, it didn't matter what we did, this was a waste of time, you know, kind of thing. So I got exposed to hundreds and hundreds of different techniques and tools and processes and all kinds of fun stuff. So it was an absolutely beautiful learning experience. The factory spun its wheels a lot and we kind of incrementally moved ahead despite ourselves. Yet it definitely was not afraid to go try stuff and dive into things and explore it and keep what works and get rid of the rest. It made adoption of anything new much more difficult because, well, how real is this? Is this really going to work or not? So if anything in that factory, it was, you have to prove that this is useful for me before I'm going to do it. So in the engineers, it was a lot more challenge to get something rolled out.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, for those that are looking to AI, what's the one thing you would want them to do before they jump into it?
Well, I would have to say is, well, what's the problem you're trying to solve that this is the right tool for? Do you actually understand what you're trying to achieve? And why is what you're doing now not powerful enough or not fast enough or not clean enough or whatever? And it might be you have bad data coming in or you don't fully understand your system, right? That the AI could do a much more sophisticated regression on it that your current models just are not capable of doing. If you have a need of that tool, the capability that AI provides that you don't have already, and it's an incremental improvement of what you're doing, then do a pilot, try it, you know, do a trial, see it, prove to yourself that you've got a good enough system that AI can actually help. I think that'd be the way I'd sum it up, James.
All right. Excellent. I have to agree. You know, I hear a lot of, and it's not just this particular topic here, but RCAs, you know, all kinds of other tools out there. You need to truly understand the problem you're trying to solve. And if once you understand that, then you can find the right tool. You can make sure the tool is appropriate. You can do all those things. But it goes back to the basics of understanding the problem you're trying to solve. Yep.
Yeah, that sounds like a good topic for an article.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Fred, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us about AI today and the basics and how they link together. But before we go, where can people find out more about you? Ascendo Reliability, all those great things.
Yeah, well, ascendoreliability.com is this professional development hub primarily for reliability engineers, but it's as any of us know, that any of your listeners know, is that it's a pretty broad topic. There's a wide range of tools and techniques and fundamentals that we need to know. So the site is really what I've been working on most dominantly lately, and adding more podcasts, adding more authors, adding more features to the site. And hopefully it does two things. One is that it's a great place to go to, well, what is Weibull analysis? You know, James mentioned this earlier. What is this stuff? And you can find it there. Just search for Weibull. Excuse me for a second. I could feel it coming. So the site is a great place to go find a quick tutorial, a refresher. A lot of the basics stuff is there. And if it's not there, leave us a message. Let us know, and we'll either write it or point to it, because some of the stuff's a little hard to find. But it's also a great place to go, is AI right for me? Ask those questions. Go to the reliability.fm, which is the podcast network part of the Ascendo Reliability. And there's a comment form there, and ask those questions of us. And I think James and other hosts in the podcast network would love those concepts and ideas, the suggestions, questions that you may have to create an episode around it, discuss it. Some things are easier to answer than others, and some will depend so much on your current circumstances. But to a person, across the contributors to Ascendo, is everybody's there to help, and we'll take time to help you sort out a good solution or path forward for you. So feel free to get in touch with us. We'd love that.
All right. Excellent. Fred, I will make sure to put links to Ascendo, the place where they can submit questions, all those things, so people can easily find it. And I want to thank you again for taking the time today to talk to us about AI in the basics.
All right. No problem, James. Always a pleasure.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.